I'm Bill Burtenshaw for WOR Radio with Community Concerns. Our special guest this week, Richard Horowitz, is an attorney concentrating in corporate, international, and security matters, and has been lecturing and consulting on the threat of terrorism for over 15 years. Mr. Horowitz, a former private investigator, he lived in Israel in the 1980s and served in the Israeli Defense Forces for 6 years, attaining the rank of captain, where he researched, planned, and implemented national security projects. Upon his return to the United States from Israel, Mr. Horowitz began lecturing on the threat of Islamic terrorism, money laundering, and related topics after the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He has currently lectured in 12 countries. Mr. Horowitz also pursued graduate studies in international relations at Columbia University and New York University, and has been published in several professional journals. His website is www.rhesq.com. He's also the founder and editor of internationalsecurityresources.com. He authored the entry of the Patriot Act in the Encyclopedia of Terrorism and is consulting editor to the money laundering section of offshoretoday.com. Richard Horowitz, WOR, originally was at 1440 Broadway. For the past couple of years, we've been here at 111 Broadway, which is inside of the former New York World Trade Center. And a question that's always puzzled me, and I'd like to ask you because you might have an answer. Back on September 11th, which was a Tuesday, four planes took off from two different airports on time, which the airlines have never been able to duplicate as far as I'm concerned. Whenever I've flown, it's never been on time. It's always been late. How did these people, with their little experience, manage to pick four airplanes to take off on time, hit the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and, of course, one went down?
Well, Bill, there are a couple of factors that need to be understood in order to comprehend what happened on September 11th. First, America is an open country. Now, being an open country is one of the reasons for our success. America is a very successful country. But being an open country means people with harmful intentions have a lot of freedom to pursue their harmful intentions. And unless they're on the law enforcement's radar screen, they can accomplish a lot. Now, second key to understanding what happened is that the people who were behind September 11th are not stupid. There's a stereotype that they're backwards in third world countries or what have you, but they're not stupid people at all. They're actually rather smart. They're in a sense, westernized. They went to Western universities. They've got college educations. And they're not stupid. So if you take people who are pretty smart and you put them in an open country where you're free to go wherever you please, you're free to do basically what you want, they spend a lot of time canvassing and surveying the targets. They spend time at airports. They went to flight school here in the States. They learned how to fly here. If you look at what they managed to accomplish by perpetrating these acts of terrorism on September 11th, you'll see that basically everything, almost everything they did, almost every step of the way was in and of itself a legal step. It's not illegal to stand in an airport and to see what planes take off on time or not. Now, law enforcement could put together a claim that, well, they're not simply standing at an airport watching planes taking off. They're standing at an airport planning an operation, which is true. But law enforcement didn't do that. They took advantage of the liberties of the United States and used them against us. They came here illegally, and 90-something percent of what they did in and of itself, planning for September 11th, were legal acts. You put the whole picture together, you see that they were planning terrorist attacks. But the individual acts of surveillance at airports and the money transfers that they did were themselves all legal.
Now, from all your research, your experience, and your work, do you think Islamic terrorism is still a threat here in New York and throughout the United States?
It's a threat here in New York, throughout the United States, and in many parts of the world. Not only the West, but in many parts of the Arab world as well. Islamic terrorists have as one of their targets secular Arab regimes, such as Egypt or Syria, and they have the Saudi Arabian regime as one of their targets also, because Saudi Arabia has cooperated to a great extent with the United States on certain matters. Saudi Arabia is a complicated issue. Maybe we'll speak about it later. But they are a threat to us here, and it doesn't matter whether or not there hasn't been an attack in the last 5 years. There are people who argue, well, it's been 5 years since September 11th. Doesn't that mean the danger is over? That makes no sense, because there were more than 5 years between World Trade Center 93 and September 11th. That was 7 years. Secondly, in President Bush's State of the Union a few weeks ago, he listed several attacks or attempted attacks which were foiled. One was taking down a skyscraper in Los Angeles, I believe. So there were attacks that have been foiled by law enforcement. So without the efforts of law enforcement, there would have been another one or two or possibly three successful attacks. Number three, the danger isn't over, even though we haven't seen any attacks, because their view of time is very, very different than our view of time. You know, here in America, we're all concerned with quarterly profits, and we want to know every within 15 minutes how our stocks are doing. Their view of time is quite different. They're fighting a war which, in their mind, started 1,000 years ago. And if they don't do an attack this year or within the next 5 years, it's irrelevant. If they do one major successful attack once a decade, they're happy, because they don't have this time constraint. They know they're going to win. And if it takes this generation or next generation, it's all the same to them. They don't think in terms of quarterly profits. They think in terms of generations. They don't even think in terms of decades. So if one skyscraper came down once a decade, as far as they're concerned, they're doing great. And for us, once a decade, for a skyscraper to come down, is still a significant catastrophe.
So in other words, they're not looking to conquer territories or land. They're interested in events.
Well, ultimately, they want to conquer territories and land. But you have to understand what they mean by conquer. In what their ultimate objective is primarily that the world should run according to the way they believe Allah, their God, wants it to run. Their goal is for the world to be Islamicized. In fact, if you look at the constitution of Iran, the current constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is a long document, in the preamble to that constitution, it's written clearly that one of their goals is to Islamicize humankind. That's what they say. So they're not necessarily trying to execute a military conquest of territory whereby they will be in military control of an area. They want, ultimately, for the peoples of the world to live under Islamic rule. And if that takes 10 years or 10 generations, their goal has not subsided. That's been their goal for generations. You see it in their writings from 800 years ago, even. And there's some portion of the world Muslim community that subscribes to this viewpoint, which is to ultimately Islamicize the world. And these terrorist attacks, for now, is their first mode of operation.
Do you think that we're better prepared now to safeguard this country than we were on September 11th?
The answer is yes and no. There have been many, many things which have happened, or many, many things which the government has done since September 11th, which are very laudable and successful. All sorts of security programs. Some you see, some you don't see. I mean, if you go to Grand Central, you'll see these biochem detectors, these boxes with a little chimney which draws in air. So there are things you can see. There are things that take place that you don't see. Lots of things have happened that have thwarted attacks, that have caused significant setbacks to Al-Qaeda and related groups. So from that perspective, we're better off, because it would be harder in certain areas. It would be much harder for Al-Qaeda and the related groups to pull off attacks that they've done in the past. There's still a long way to go. We're not out of the woods yet, so to speak. We still have certain problems. For example, I think that the fact that the Department of Homeland Security, which is a positive development, the fact that the Department of Homeland Security was the agency that was responsible for Katrina is a problem, because it doesn't make sense to me that an agency that's responsible for national security threats is that same agency responsible for natural disasters. They're two separate things, two separate causes, different kinds of responses, and it seems to me like a mistake that once the Department of Homeland Security was created, it had the responsibility to deal with Katrina. To me, that seems like a bureaucratic mistake.
Now, do you think we in the West have failed to understand that there are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world and the power they have?
Well, yes, there are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. I would say that in principle, the West doesn't understand the Muslim world. The Muslim world is a very big thing. It's a billion people over dozens of countries, which has a history going back 1,000 years. So in principle, the West doesn't understand the Muslim world. The real problem is not the Muslim world per se. The real problem is the significant portion of the Muslim world which subscribes to the attitudes and objectives of Al-Qaeda and similar groups. It's a small portion of the entire Muslim world. It's not as if Al-Qaeda and these groups have a billion people behind them. They've got millions of people behind them. And of the millions of people, they've got several tens of thousands who've been trained in their camps. And of the several tens of thousands, they've got a good few thousand people who would be willing to go on attacks just given the orders. To make it a little more complicated, the investigators in London and Madrid had concluded that those who perpetrated those attacks were not per se members of Al-Qaeda. They had no connections to Al-Qaeda. They were local people who were inspired by Al-Qaeda's message and put together those attacks on their own. So that, I would say, is the framework for understanding who it is we're dealing with. And the answer is yes, I believe that the West in general has yet to fully comprehend what bin Laden's constituency, Islamic terrorists and these related groups, are doing, what they want to accomplish, the threat that they pose, and their willingness to do what it is they believe is right in their eyes, which is to kill the infidels, kill Westerners, cause damage and destruction. And that is what's on their agenda, and nothing on the horizon is going to stop them.
Richard Horowitz, we just have a minute left. What's given you the greatest satisfaction in your work with working against terrorism and for security?
What's given me the greatest satisfaction is seeing some of the successes that I know have taken place. Because, America is a very big and successful country, and security is generally not on the minds of people. There's, in fact, there's the only place to learn about law is law school. There's really no place to learn about security unless you go through government training or you work for law enforcement. There are some courses. There's John Jay. Every once in a while you can find a course in a university. But by and large, Americans aren't familiar with the profession of security. So for those who are involved with it, we know we're doing something that's important, and when we see successes, that's the most satisfactory feeling.
Thank you, Richard Horowitz. To learn more about what Mr. Horowitz is working on, go to his website, www.rhesq.com. That's www.rhesq.com. This week's edition of Community Concerns was produced and directed by Ben Soto. Guest coordination by Peter W. Hanley. Our theme was composed and performed by Cy Simon, And I'm Bill Burtonshaw for WOR Radio with Community Concerns, wishing you a good week ahead.